Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to episode 146 of the Mile High Show. I'm going to ramble a little bit here because the episode today is with primarily with Becky Dahlke. She is a local musician, local artist, and we sat together in the patio of Big Daddy E's Barbecue in Chino Valley. Their new website, it's Big Daddy E's Barbecue. So the website is BDEBBQ.com. You can find their menu, their hours, and all that good stuff. And soon we'll be loading up their I helped them put this together. So we're going to be loading up the calendar of events that shows who's playing music out there every Friday night, and Friday afternoon and Friday evening. Tonight, it was Sky Conwell, friend of the show. Coming up, it will be Becky and Darren Mahoney. A couple of weeks ago, we sat down and talked with Darren, and Leslie Earl Lyman, who's a regular out there and a regular on these mics. So Big Daddy E's is turning into the place to be on Friday afternoon. So we'll be recording out there periodically, more so than we have been in the past. They will be, they are new sponsors to the show, or returning sponsors to the show. Check them out, BDEBBQ.com. And the start of my conversation with Becky was basically a Darren fest. We were telling each other how much we love Darren Mahoney. Becky, who is an old friend of Darren's, and myself, who just recently met Darren. Actually, the day we recorded the episode, it was, I think, 144 or 143. When I plugged in the mics was when I met him. But I felt like I was meeting an old friend. Even though we had just met, it felt like we'd known each other for a long time. So Becky and I start out by just telling each other how much we enjoy talking with Darren, who had just left the table on his way home before we started recording. But Darren's a great guy. I look forward to hearing him play more extensively and at bigger venues and on stage soon. He's heading out on a tour of Colorado. So when he returns, maybe we'll sit down and talk to him about his experience. Anyway, the reason, well, not the reason, but the subject matter started out as back to school, and it kind of didn't stick to that. But we do hear some stories of Becky growing up in Prescott and her educational experiences, a couple of the teachers that meant a great deal to her and encouraged her artistic endeavors. But the reason I wanted to do that is because locally it's back to school time. For me, that's a little odd because when I was growing up, back when in the olden days, when the world was still black and white before they invented color, school started in September, right after Labor Day, and my son, little Anthony, 7-year-old, going into second grade, or just started second grade, he started school this past Monday. It was July 31st. Going back to school in July just doesn't make sense to me. He goes to a local charter school, but the other public schools either started this week, you know, later on in the week, or they will be starting this coming Monday. So it got me thinking, and for some reason, education and back to school kind of weighs heavy on me. And one of the reasons for that is I don't have much of an education. I completed and graduated high school, but after some starts and sputters trying to go through college, only the junior college level, I never was able to get that going. I right after high school, or actually during high school, I was working full time. So when I graduated, I just continued working full time and wasn't able to go to expand my education formally anyway. I did a lot of on the job training. Yet most of the careers paths that I've chosen, education was a requirement. A degree, a 4-year degree, was pretty much a requirement. And I never had that. So I always felt underqualified for the jobs I had. So I was always playing catch up. And I would make up for that by basically never saying no to a job. Always say, yes, I'll do it before I even found out what it was. I would take extra shifts. I have always worked at least 2 full-time jobs. And that has not been healthy for me professionally or personally, and definitely not in the family area. So in recent years, especially after my son Anthony was born, I have changed that. And while I am still very busy and my photography and marketing business is pretty successful, at least on a small scale for what I need to survive, I have toned down, I have cut way back on my work because I did not want to only hear about my son growing up. I wanted to be part of it. So I have adjusted my work schedule, and part of that adjustment is doing this podcast and trying to make a little money doing that. One way we can do that is by encouraging you to use the Amazon link at milehighshow.com. See how I slipped in a commercial right there without you even noticing it until I pointed it out? Milehighshow.com has an Amazon link right there on the main page. Do me a favor, bookmark milehighshow.com on your desktop, on your phone's homepage, anywhere that you use the internet, and use it for all your online shopping. It takes you directly to your Amazon link, your Amazon login, whether that be Amazon or Amazon Prime. You sign in like you always do. You shop like you always do. No extra money, no extra charge to you, but it lets Amazon know you got there through us, and we get a little thank you. Okay, that's the end of the commercial. But one of the reasons I started this podcast is so that I can work on my own schedule. I can be a little more fluid on my schedule. I am completely self-employed at this point, and that allows me to spend more time with my son, but it does remind me that I am lacking in the formal education area. So as my son is entering into second grade, I started thinking this week about education and my lack of it, and I wanted to get other people's take on education. So that's the excuse I used to sit down and talk with Becky Dahlke today. Her music is available at beckydahlkemusic.bandcamp.com, also at reverbnation.com, iTunes, Google Play Music, and bandsintown.com. You can also find her at Becky Dahlke Music on Facebook, where you can find links to her latest release, Fleeting Moments. And you can either download it or buy a hard copy CD, or you can catch her at her shows that she talks about. Pick up a signed copy yourself. So, but Becky tells me a little bit about her education and the influences and the educators that made a difference in her life. And again, like I said, I am fascinated by education because I have very little of it. That's an internal problem I need to fix and overcome. But like I said, many of the jobs, many of the career paths that I've chosen have required a further education, and I always felt inadequate at jobs, and that has been a problem because while I, in hindsight, have done very well at jobs and have gone through the career paths that I enjoyed, I would overcompensate for my lack of education by just working so much, taking on extra shifts, doing more hours than necessary in kind of to cover up my lack of education. And that harmed me personally, physically, and definitely in the family area because I never saw my family. So I'm changing that now to spend more time with both my wife and my son in the last number of years, and I hope to be able to continue that by creating new content on my own, whether that be writing or talking on mics or whatever. Anyway, when I was done talking with Becky, I went to a friend's house to help him out, a friend of the show, Matt Hinshaw. I work with him. He's also, like I said, a good friend of mine. He happens to be out of town, and so I was on my way to his house to let out his roommate, his puppy, his dog, And then to kick back on his couch, watch a little TV, and kind of hang out while his dog was getting some fresh air. And it got me thinking, because Matt is a graduate, a college graduate. We chose fairly similar career paths. We have had fairly similar jobs in photojournalism and mass communication. And I got to thinking, how are we different? How did his education help him? How did my lack of education hurt me? And we both worked for newspapers. He worked for some larger ones than I did, of course, in larger markets, and I worked a lot of contract work. We have both done commercial photography. We have both been successful in that area. We are both still doing photography at some level. He's buying a house. I'm buying a house. He has a couple of cars. I have a couple of cars. I have a dog. He has a dog. I have a wife and a child. He does not, but he has a whole lot of dolls at his house. He calls them action figures. We've talked about those on the show before, but call them action figures. They're dolls based on robots and aliens and movie characters. They're dolls, Matt. I'm sorry, but they're dolls. His dog is named after his dog's name is Boba Fett. Named after a Star Wars character. He has an empty refrigerator. My refrigerator has a little more food in it because, one, I eat more than he does, and I have two other mouths that eat at my home, my wife and son. So that's understandable. But this, I think, is what it boils down to. This is what separates a college graduate from a non-college graduate. I have a television with a remote control. Matt Hinshaw has a television with a remote control that has a television on it. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. Matt Hinshaw's television remote has a little television in it, and I could not figure out how to turn on Netflix. His TV remote that has a built-in television screen on the remote is too complicated for me. I could not turn on Netflix. I could not watch TV. I left his home in tears because I am an uneducated photographer that does not know how to use a remote. And I couldn't watch cartoons on his TV. So while he is down in Phoenix at a big, huge concert. I think he's watching Metallica tonight. Watching. See, that's how you know you're old, when you say he's out watching a musician. While he is listening to Metallica perform live, and he's going to come home and watch TV by clicking a remote that has a TV built in it, I am sitting in my garage talking to myself. But earlier I was not talking to myself. I was talking to Becky Dahlke, and here she is. Don't forget, you can get her CD, Fleeting Moments, at beckydahlkemusic.bandcamp.com. Here is Becky Dahlke from the patio at Big Daddy's Barbecue in Chino Valley. All right.
I'll be doing that.
That's fine. Because what we're hearing in the background is Sky Daddy Conwell on the microphone as we're sitting in the patio at Big Daddy's Barbecue. Becky. Becky Dahlke. Oh, wait. I told him I wanted to record this, though. I got to plug in.
Oh gosh, Sky Daddy, I love you.
Hey, and the parents are excited.
Back to school. Okay,
I told him I wanted to record that, so we'll drop it in there. I'll see if he can replay it after.
That would be a good idea.
First off, how can folks find out where you're at, what you got coming up, website, social media, whatever you got? We already ran through your Instagram and Twitter. Yeah, we know that they're almost non-existent.
Non-existent. That's because I'm so Twitter and Instagram challenged is what it is. And then, Facebook, Becky Dahlke Music. You can always look at Becky Fest on Facebook. Bands in Town. I'm on that. I'm on that website. You can check out Bandcamp.com, Becky Dahlke Music at Bandcamp.com, or Becky Dahlke Music dot Bandcamp.com.
Yeah. But if we hit Becky Dahlke Music on Facebook, that's mm-hmm. That's kind of your most active.
Yeah, that's my most active.
So from there we can find the other things, and I'll throw some other links in there.
Yeah, but it's. I'm trying to be up to date as possible. You know, it just happens. You know, life gets ahead of everything else. So
that's the perils of being a working musician, a working artist, huh?
It is, on top of being a working and doing farmers markets and all that other stuff.
So what you got? What's on your plate lately? Where you been playing?
Haven't been playing a whole lot. I've been really been helping my parents out, but this month. I'm at the August 11th. Well, thanks, Sky Daddy. He was so excited about me telling you about this. August 11th, Darren Mahoney, and myself, and I think Les Lyman will be there. We'll be at the Arizona Stronghold in, Cottonwood from 6 to 9, and that's August 11th, and then August 19th, I think it is, which will be the following Saturday. It'll be me, and I'm hoping maybe Les will be there, at Pillsbury Wine Company over in Cottonwood.
Oh, nice.
And then I think I'll be playing drums for Les here at Big Daddy on the last Friday
on
of
his
this
rotating,
month.
On his rotation spot.
And then August 31st... which is a Thursday, Darren, Les, and I will probably be up at the Spirit Room.
Cool.
So I've got a lot going on this month, and then next month, if you're looking for some music, contact me.
Becky Dahlke Music on Facebook.
Yes.
Hit it up.
That's where I'm going to be at.
Now, what's you played? Was it last weekend with Darren at the Birdcage?
Yes.
What's that ensemble called?
That's Chasing Recess.
Okay.
That's the band. It's a 5-piece.
Now
we play our own. I play some of my stuff, and Darren plays the stuff that he does really well, and then Anne Renee will play. Does her stuff, and then we've got fiddle.
Les and I sat down a couple weeks ago with Darren. Very first time I met him was about 10 minutes before we plugged in the mics. My anticipation was we were going to be talking music and his shows and stuff. We really didn't get into music. We got into everything else, and I learned a lot about the man.
Mm-hmm.
But what was your connection with him? How did that happen?
Darren and I first met met through Chicks with Picks, which is an organization down in Phoenix highlight women artists down there, and then we started playing music. We were the kind of the backup musicians for Tania Sanders Eichelman Eichelberg now. Sorry, Tania, but. Yeah, we played together in that band for about 2.5 years, and then.
So your association with Darren goes back a little bit.
Yeah, I go back. We go back a long way. So yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we've known each other for a long time.
How nice! Great.
And then,
I said, you came up a little bit in that podcast.
Yeah.
As we were talking about his upcoming gigs, because it was just before that Birdcage spot,
mm-hmm.
but we barely scratched the musical subject with him because we are so into everything else. I need to sit down with him again after his tour when he comes back from Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but so that's nice. You got anything else coming up with Chasing Recess?
Not yet.
No?
Not yet. I think that was our first gig, and we're kind of looking for other gigs, so we'll see.
Cool.
See what
I missed that Sunday. I really wanted to get out there, and I couldn't make it. We had something, a pre-arranged thing that I couldn't switch, but I was anxious to see Darren play, for one. I still haven't, other than
right
after, right after we recorded, him and Les picked up a couple of guitars and started playing.
He seriously is the most, not only is he just, musically he's just phenomenal, but as a human being, he is truly the most unselfish person I think I've ever met. He just loves everybody. He wants to experience everything, and he wants everyone else to experience everything. And so it's been really cool being able to have him, you know, sit in with me when we do duo gigs, which will be the August 11th and the 31st gig
out in the Verde, and then Spirit Room.
And it's just, you know, we've written songs together. We've done so much. We're just continually expanding on that, and it's so much fun because it's like he's one of those musicians that you're just connected with no matter how long you haven't seen each other or anything. We can just pick right up and there we are.
That's,
you know,
what, when I talked with, I don't want this to turn into the let's praise Darren Mahoney's podcast.
I will though. We can if we need to.
But one of the things that I felt right when we started talking was that it felt like I had known this guy for a long time when I had met him, and it, like I said, it had just been minutes. But one of the themes that came up with him and that has come up with podcasts throughout my time doing this, whether it be, you know, musicians, artists, authors, folks around town, comics, is the influences that they have. The at a young age when they either get moved into the right direction to follow their passions, or even later in life when they've realized this is not what I've meant to be, sitting behind a desk, I need to be doing this, whatever that happens to be, is the people, the organizations, or the moments in time that spur them to do that. And that kind of came into mind this week for me. The last few years have been a what an apt song for Sky to be playing as I'm getting into this. Old man Neil Young, because I'm an old man. I'm over 50, but I've got a little guy at home. I've got that I talk about a lot on this show. I got a 7-year-old
cutie pie.
So since he's came on the scene, my life has been completely upturned for the better, much for the better. But he started school this week, and it me thinking. For one, starting school in July is against nature, as far as I'm concerned. You start school after Labor Day.
Well, you know what? I went to growing up here.
Yeah,
we started school at the end of August.
Yeah,
of course. So my birthday either was the first day of school.
Gotcha.
Or it was like the first 3 days of school. And then, of course, we didn't get a cake or any of those, hey, happy birthday things. And then, of course, then we'd go for a week, and then we'd have 3 days off
for Labor Day.
Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
And now it's like, hey, let's start early. I just think it's crazy.
But when I think back of when I was in school and the people that influenced me and that I influenced, the people that kind of shaped me in my formative years, I start thinking about how that's going to be for my son. For one, he's got 3 strikes against him already because he lives with me. So he's got that influence. My wife is constantly battling to fix what I've broke. But I start thinking, I've been, now that he's of an age where, you know, we have conversations, and it's not, you know, because he's getting, you know, he's,
well, you need to. Yeah. I mean, we start earlier and earlier having those conversations.
Yeah. And his maturity level is not, you know, when he was 3, it was more of don't touch this, don't touch that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, you'll get burned.
Yeah.
But in recent years, he's been asking questions about when I was a kid. So I walked the fine line about telling him the truth, but not telling him stuff that's going to either terrify him or make him fall off a cliff following me. So
or the one where the teacher goes, "Where'd you learn it?" "My dad."
Yeah.
And then, it'll happen. It'll be.
But now that he's going, he started second grade this past Monday.
Oh, wow.
And we were having conversations this week about what it was like for me in second grade.
Uh-huh.
And what he could expect and what he's going to be experiencing and expecting as he gets into, you know, preteen, fifth, sixth grade, into junior high and high school. And I think I scared him a little bit, but just because he's not quite ready for some of the horror stories. But
what school is he going to?
Okay. He's Mingus Springs Charter School.
Okay,
up. Yeah, we live like a block from it,
okay,
so he's pretty
so
close.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay. But when we think about, when I started thinking about what influenced me, I really wanted to do this show this week on Back to School, and I want to hear some other stories about growing up, and you with your deep musical roots and the way you play. I mean, I'm blown away when I hear you play.
Thank you.
And not, your original stuff, of course, is incredible, but even when you're doing covers and you've really personalized them,
mm-hmm.
and really, you look at these songs a whole different way when I see you sing them,
thank you.
Was that something that was encouraged for you early on? When did your musical roots start really taking hold?
Okay, well, I will say that I pretty much came out of the womb wanting to play drums.
Ah.
I would bang on everything. And my parents went, instead of drums, here's a violin. Or here's a piano, or every year, you know, you could have. Back then, I'm not sure what it's like if they still have music in schools anymore, but at least when every year you could get in, you know, music program, and it'd be like, what do you want to learn? What do you want to play? And I'd always say drums. I've learned a lot. I think. They just didn't want me banging. They just didn't want that loud noise. And
but
yet,
that
I'm
was
like,
your
that's
first
what I,
love.
That was my
huh?
first love. So it was always like, I want to play drums. I was always banging on stuff. And then finally, about third grade, my parents are like, you can't play drums when you play. And I said, I want to play saxophone. So I learned saxophone. I played saxophone for a year. I was the worst at it. I seriously was. And the sad thing is I wish I could remember my music teacher's name. She was the most patient woman in the world. So I got finished through that year, and that was third grade. And that year, that summer, she had passed away.
Yeah.
And a part of me was like, I killed her because I couldn't play saxophone. I said, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean. I really want to do it.
Death by brass section.
It was. And I'm like, and they're like, no, that, you know, my parents had to sit me down and go, no, that didn't happen. I'm like, yes, it was, because she always said how I needed to work on things. But fourth grade, finally, my parents gave in and let me play drums. And so I played drums from that point on.
Now, your Twitter handle, like we said, it's not something you're super active on, but it's Drum Girl ATL from your time in Atlanta.
ATL when I lived in Atlanta, yeah.
But, so drums were pretty much, because I know you as a guitar player and a singer-songwriter.
See, it's funny because it's weird. Like in Phoenix, when I lived in Phoenix, and I was doing Chicks with Picks, I was known as the drummer. That's who I
what
played.
What kind of music were you playing?
I was doing everything. I mainly did, played with singer-songwriters.
Yeah.
I mean, I was, excuse me. I was playing with, trying to think of everybody that I would play. My friend Laura Sawasco, I was doing drums for her. Jordy was another artist down there, and then I worked with Tania. I was also playing with played in a band called Haven James, and you know, a lot of times if people just needed somebody to jump up on and sit in, that's what I would do. And so people in Phoenix knew me as a drummer, and then people here in Prescott know me as a singer-songwriter, and then when they see me play drums, they're like, I had no idea, and it's like, that's what I used to do.
That's your roots,
that's what
man.
I do,
yeah.
And so it's like, there's not, it's nice when I can get in and start playing drums. And yeah. I play cajon mostly now.
What is that?
Cajon is just a, it's like a box. It's like, it's one of those little boxes that have, that I use brushes, but people can bang on it. They sit on it and play.
Gotcha. Okay. Dan Seaman, is he kind of use that format?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's,
gotcha.
That's what he has. Yeah. Yeah. But I have mine. Mine looks like Willie Nelson's guitar, except it hasn't fallen through yet. Yeah, so I did that. And then when I went to Atlanta, when I was living in Atlanta, I was doing a lot of drumming for a lot of people. I did go, I would go out and do open mics and play guitar and sing. And then when I moved back, that's pretty much what I started doing. Was
so this third grade, music mm-hmm. teacher, when you're struggling with the saxophone, dying to start beating on drums mm-hmm. in your free time, was that was here in Prescott?
That was here in Prescott. It was. I went to Miller Valley School. I'm sad that they are no longer, that it's no longer available.
What was that? Was that the brick building there on
It was a
Gurley?
Brick building right there, right across the street from Hastings.
Gotcha.
It's like that whole section.
That one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Miller Valley. It was right down. I
on
remember.
Miller Valley. Duh. Yeah.
On Miller Valley. Miller Valley and Iron Springs. That's where it is. And I loved elementary school. I loved all my schooling.
Without outing you, what grade, I mean, what year was this? I'm not going to push you to tell us how old you are.
You're going
to
ask me? Going to ask me
how has Prescott changed since then? I'm trying to get the feel of what
gosh.
It was like
okay,
then.
Prescott has changed because when I was growing up, we had Yellowfront, which was where, I think is where Hastings was. And then Cornette was right where True Value.
Okay.
So this is a long time ago. This is before the mall. This is before everything.
So from folks in Phoenix or anybody listening and my buddies from the San Francisco Bay Area, Southern Cal, Prescott's considered a small town.
This is a small town. This will tell you, this is when you drove through Bullwacker Hill.
What?
Bullwacker Hill is actually what they tore down and made the mall. And
gotcha.
All that. It was Bullwacker Hill. It was you always knew when you hit Bullwacker Hill, you could just coast down into Prescott.
So that was still out of town.
That was out of town, but it was okay. but it was like that was Bullwacker Hill. And so you knew you could get to Sheldon. You're going to get to Gurley and then you could
gotcha.
You know.
See, for me, that's still all Prescott.
It's still
but
Prescott.
Back then,
yeah.
That was considered not town yet. You were on your way.
Let me tell you. This will tell you. It was during that time when I was in third grade, there was one light in Prescott Valley at Robert Road. That'll tell you how old I am.
While you're 25.
I know how old you are. What? How fast are you going? It took us, and it was great because it didn't take us long to get to Phoenix. Nowadays, it takes you almost half the time just to get through Prescott Valley. But, so that was that time.
So what was the school days like for you? What were you doing? What was the fun times after school and stuff for young Becky?
Oh, gosh.
Who were you hanging out with?
I was I mean, everybody. We all... Excuse me, I've had too much Dr. Pepper right now. There's a plug. But,
Dr. Pepper, which is available on tap on the fountain at Big Daddy E's Barbecue.
It is. It's 380
West Butterfield.
It's good. You guys got to come out.
Every time we mention Big Daddy E's, I get to charge him a sandwich.
Oh, yeah? Big Daddy E's. Big Daddy E's Barbecue. Big Daddy E's Barbecue. Does that mean I get a couple now?
Yeah, we'll split them.
Right. It was that... What all those old songs would say, you know, where you're, you know, we would be friends with everybody on the street, and we would just all hang out. We'd go climb trees and go to the movies at the Elks Theater. I mean, that tells you. I mean, the last time I saw a movie at Elks Theater, Flash Gordon was playing. That'll tell you how old they are.
Freddie Mercury singing the theme song.
It was. Flash Gordon. Yes.
Is that one of your covers you do? You got to work that into the list.
I might have to do something like that. But no, like growing up, it was just, you know, it was playing until the streetlights came on or until your parents called, you know, yelled, screamed for you down, you know, and you knew when your parents needed you because it would echo.
Yeah.
You know, and it was great. I loved it. I loved being out. We didn't need a fidget spinner or anything like that. Mm-hmm. If your parents, if you were too loud in the house, go outside.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd go climb, you know, where I live. I mean, we had plenty to climb.
Yeah.
You know, we had boulders we could climb up to. I mean, I used to hike to, we called it Indian Rock. I know that's I know that's politically incorrect now, but it was petroglyphs. There was the petroglyphs that are up there now at Enchanted Canyon or Inscription Canyon, whatever that is.
Whatever they're calling it.
That was behind Lamb Chevrolet. That's now up there. I used that was my playground. Was all that going up there and everywhere. And so, you know, that's the stuff that I remember.
Any. Specific kids that you're still in touch with from back in that time, or anybody that sticks out, maybe that was an influence in you to what? Or a influence? Teacher, maybe?
Oh, well, you know what? Yes. I will say this. In my first grade, I had to do first grade twice because I had a really, really mean teacher. And I can say that she was mean because I was thinking I was being creative.
Yeah.
I was there was no more Play-Doh. So I was pounding on the table pretending like
playing drums.
She goes, "You need I wasn't playing drums. I was pretending like I was making a pot or something."
Yeah.
I don't know. And the teacher, and I won't say her name cuz I don't want her family to be all upset at me. But she took me into the front of the class and spanked my butt. I don't know how much, because I did something like that, and I was just like, so I had to do first grade again because I was
with
like,
her?
No, it was Mrs. Hernandez,
who was the my second,
okay, my second first grade teacher, or Mrs. Huff, if all of you who know her, I think she just retired. She taught at Prescott Mile High Middle School.
Uh-huh.
She was amazing. She was certainly, it was a total night and day. She certainly, you know, taught me that I could do stuff. So it was nice. It was really nice. She was a really big influence. And then God, there were so many great teachers. And then I had Mrs. Hernandez for my third grade teacher. That was great. Or Mrs. Huff at the time.
Nice. So you had her for first and then again for third?
And then for third. All at Miller Valley. And then, junior high, I played basketball for... I played basketball during that time when I was in sixth grade. And then...
This whole time still playing music?
No, I was playing music, but I wasn't... I was always playing music, no matter what. I was playing drums, but I didn't
in classes, on your own.
Well, I did have classes, and from fourth grade on, God, and I wish I could my brain. I wish I could remember my music
teacher's
name.
Another plug for Big Daddy's Barbecue. It's so good, it'll make you lose your memory.
It does. It will. It does. It makes me lose my memory. All I can think about is
ribs.
That tri-tip. And the ribs, oh my gosh, and the pulled pork.
Now
and the prime rib, which I just can't wait to have.
Was high school here as well, or was that out of area?
High school was here. Yep.
Now let's get into the dirt. What kind of trouble did you get in high school? And if you tell me none, we'll end it right here because I know you're lying.
There was a few things. I would get in trouble. I will let everybody know. I played basketball. I played point guard, and I loved playing basketball. But the varsity coach didn't like me too much. I played junior varsity, but the varsity coach didn't like me too much, and so he constantly got on me for my haircut or anything.
What was the hairstyle then?
Oh, here's a not far from what I have. No, just joking. No, I used to have shave the sides of my head just a little bit, not too much, but just enough. And he would always sit there and he was like, that's not a varsity haircut, or that's not, you know. That, yeah, that was lessons. And then you know, and he's like, you're gonna get more fouls called on you because of that haircut. And I sat there and I'm like, I looked at him, they're gonna call fouls on me because I fouled somebody. Yeah, it's not because of how I look.
It's because I'm punching him in the face. I don't think it's for the high sides on
exactly.
My hair.
You know, and that was also the time when I was coming to more of an understanding about who I am, yeah, and everything. And so,
hi, Becky, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Hey, Big Daddy E's. Go eat at Big Daddy E's.
We're at Big Daddy E's.
We are,
every
and it is so good.
Eric owes me a sandwich, so that's
so
why
we keep saying Big Daddy E's barbecue.
Big Daddy E's. One more time. One more sandwich.
One more sandwich. There we go.
I hate the sound
Big
of my
Daddy
voice.
E's.
Big Daddy E's.
Big Daddy
E's. Woo!
Oh my goodness, he just went bankrupt.
Everybody, no, I won't say that because then they were like, hey, I heard it on the radio. No, yeah. No, we're not doing that. Yeah, so it was like, you know, he didn't like the company that I kept, like the friends I had, and I pretty much I stood up for myself, yeah, during all of it. And you know, it made me better. I had the one teacher in high school who I will always always give the praise to, and for, you know, saving me pretty much, was Mrs. McCormick, Barbara McCormick. She was like one of those teachers that just loved everybody.
What was your subject?
It was English, and English. I was in the lowest English possible. Like I have a learning disability. Hey, we all have one of those in some way.
We all do.
But she was awesome. She was one who
she encouraged your individuality, your creativity, and all that.
And she had faith in what I in just my abilities, no matter what I was going to do musically. You know, school, during school, and just as a person. And so there was a time during that time where I just wanted to quit school.
Yeah.
I wanted to go to Phoenix. I wanted to be with people who were like me, who were just coming out, who were gay, that were just, you know, living, being who they are.
Yeah.
And
being able to meld in instead of standing out.
And, you know, and I told my parents, and of course my mom said, I love you. I don't care. She goes, but you're going to graduate. And this was 3 months before I was supposed to graduate, before I was supposed to graduate high school. She goes, I don't care. You're going to graduate. If that means I have to handcuff you and drag you to school, you'll go. And, the next day I went and talked to Ms. McCormick, and it was the most amazing thing that she ever did. And it's the simplest thing that she did was she took made this line on the chalkboard, and she put a dash on one and put a dash on the end. And then about maybe an inch from the first dash, she puts this little line, and she goes, and I'm going, okay. She goes, this is where you're at. You have all this
the rest of your life
to be able to do what, you know, to be who you are, to play your music, to write, to do the things that I see in you that you need to do. And so at that moment I was like, okay, I got 3 months, I can do this, you know. But it was that one little thing that she said just allowed me to do it, you know. And I, you know, I went to college, got an associate's degree, never thinking I would ever even be in college.
What was your degree in?
It was in education.
Yeah.
And
so you can be the next Mrs. McCormick?
To be able to help in whatever way that was going to be. And I was on Dean's list every semester, which I never thought I would ever be. You know, and it was because, and I think it was because of her. I think it was her and my mom that
Now that's Barbara McCormick, you said? Now, yeah. Is she still around?
She is. Actually, I think she lives in...
Still teaching?
I think she's retired now. Okay. I think she's in California or Washington.
Shout
one
out
of
to
those.
Barbara McCormick.
Yeah, she was amazing. And she is still amazing. Excuse me. I got to have a sip.
We don't edit not now.
Yes, she was amazing, and you know, but there was always one of those teachers throughout the years that always did that. Like I mean, like Linda Carter, who was my PE teacher. She was just awesome. She was just
Wonder Woman taught you PE.
Yes, she did.
Man, I went to the wrong school.
No, it wasn't Linda Carter. It wasn't Linda Carter, Wonder Woman, but she was a Wonder Woman. No,
in her own right. Okay.
Mr. Carter, who was the he was our superintendent. He taught civics when I was in high school. It was his wife, and she was just awesome. Like she always inspired everybody to do their best, no matter what they were doing.
Go ahead.
Oh, there, I could tell you all the things I used to, that, you know. In junior high, I was in track, and I loved music so much that I had a boombox that I ran track holding.
What was playing on your boombox? What was your playlist on your mixtape?
Oh, God, what was I playing? I think I was playing, like, the Specials or something like Squeeze or something like that. I think those were some of them. Maybe Berlin. I don't know. It was something like that. It was like one of those bands. Maybe English Beat or General Public. They were both same band.
Yeah.
You know, it
Greek
was something
theater,
like that.
Berkeley's
but,
Greek Theater. Saw English Beat there a couple of times.
Yeah. But that's what I did. I always had music because I can remember in elementary school, I had a little boombox, and I remember playing Rick Springfield's first album with Jesse's Girl on it, and I would have my boombox. I just walk around. I was weird. I was the weirdo.
Now. English,
but I was great.
English Beat in junior high in Prescott.
Uh-huh.
I'm betting that wasn't the norm.
No.
What?
No, and see, the funny thing is my parents had a stained glass store, and we'd go to California. We'd go to California every summer, and we'd go buy glass and stuff. And we were, I remember getting Vans out there and bringing them. And we would get like five pairs of Vans while we were there. And everyone would go, where did you get Vans? I'm like, California. And there would be other people that had them, but I like would match what my Vans would look like. One time I was all purple one time. And they're like, are you a grape? And I'm like, if that's what you want to call me, fine. But yeah, I loved it. It was great.
I'm betting purple Vans to this day would stand out in Prescott, let alone a few years back when you were there.
Exactly.
Prescott being, you know, for a city guy like me, I'm in the suburbs of Oakland is where I grew up. So coming out here was quite a culture shock. I moved from a very small town of 150,000 in the East Bay to Paulden.
you went from, hey, there's a lot of people, to I can, you could spit for days and not hit anybody.
So the fashion, the music, the attitude of what young Becky was doing in 7th and 8th grade stood out just a little bit.
Oh, I did. I think this was even elementary, all that. But growing up here was great. You know, I know everyone talks about the water fights downtown, and you know, we always went to, if we didn't go to the rodeo, we would hike to Hermit's Cave, climb to the top of Hermit's Cave with binoculars and watch the rodeo from there. This is when, you know, the fireworks happened at the high school, and You know, you went to every football game because you wanted to see everybody. You knew everybody would be there.
Now, with your degree, did you ever go into teaching?
I didn't.
I mean, formally, you never taught classroom studies?
I never went into
formally in a classroom.
Formally into a classroom.
But
no.
Mentoring and guiding young artists, musicians, especially through like Becky Fest and things of that nature. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to put you on the spot. If I haven't already put you on the spot enough.
Okay.
Your degree comes in, gets kicked in. You get called in. You are now going to substitute for a month at junior high, whatever mile. High around here?
You do understand this is a while back.
You
walked
in.
This is it.
They call you because school
this
in Prescott,
right
I believe,
now.
Started
yesterday.
Either today, yesterday,
yesterday,
and then Chino here start. Well, since we're in Chino at Big Daddy's Barbecue on West Butterfield Road. Home of the Big Daddy
E's. I'll be coming for lunch every day if I'm going to be
We're in Chino Valley. Chino Valley High School and Junior High, which is right over this way. Yeah, we're getting a little drizzled on.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah,
they start Monday morning.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday afternoon, you get a call from John Scholl, our local superintendent. Says, Becky, we need you.
And I'd be like, are you
Del
sure?
Rio, we need you. You walk in and
I
you have
in.
30 seventh graders in front of you. What do you tell them? I'm putting you on the spot. What do you tell them to prepare them for their first day of junior high?
What do I tell them for the
Give them a little motivational speech.
I would walk in. I would tell them my name, you know, and I want to know every single. I want to know everybody's name and be like, you know what? I know that everyone here has a story. Whether it is, you know, who their parents are, where they've come from, whatever. If it's seventh grade, I would say I want you to write on one sheet of paper, tell me the things about you that you want people to know. And then the next day, what we're going to do is we're going to introduce ourselves, and I'm going to hand out that paper to another kid, and they're going to know that person's story.
Yeah.
So that then everyone is equal. There's no hierarchy at all.
Beautiful.
That's what I would do.
And it ties right into with what Sky Daddy Conwell is singing right now. That's a beautiful entryway. Now. Mm-hmm. Give them some advice. Give them a few words of advice that you think in your couple of years experience since you were in junior high. What can you encourage them to do to be successful? Now, when I say successful, I'm not speaking of being successful in the financial aspect or business aspect. I'm talking about to be fulfilled as a human. Because in hindsight, we all have now, I wish I would have known this then, or I wish I could do this. What do you tell a seventh grader on his first couple of days to prepare him as advice?
I would say don't buy in the hype. Don't buy into whatever anyone's selling. Find your own way. Find out what you really love doing and pursue that. Whether it's you like doing art, if it's, hey, guess what? You like reading comic books. Or if it's like, you know what? I like to go shopping. Hey, be good at it, you know? Be unique. Be the unique that you are, because nobody else is going to be you.
Yeah.
So don't allow other people to persuade you into something that you don't want to be or want to do. That's what I would tell them.
I think we can end it on that. I wish you were my seventh grade teacher. I had Mr. Cottle. Who is all right guy. He was all right. Calaroga Junior High. Mr. Cottle, who intimidated us into obedience.
There was a lot of intimidation.
Becky, let's get into the dry. Thanks. I appreciate it. That was fun. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
Up in the morning, out the school. bouncing out of your seat. You go down the hallway into the street, and you're trying to forget just where you